Welcome back to Lights, Camera, Baby. Today we're diving into an incredible and intimate moment that's sometimes overlooked, but can have profound effects for both mom and baby. The golden hour. We're thrilled to be joined by Lynn Bluff, a leading childbirth educator and expert in postnatal care. Now, Lynn has dedicated her career to helping parents understand and embrace the most precious first moments after childbirth. Today, Lynn's here to share insights, benefits, and practical tips on making the most of this golden hour with your little one. So let's get into it. A very warm welcome to Lynn.
Thanks, Progeny. It's really delightful to be here with you today. And it's such a wonderful opportunity to impart some very important and vital information to pregnant moms and dads.
Yeah, I think it's something that is so essential, but something that is overlooked. I think pregnancy building up to birth, from the time you're pregnant, there's so much that we go through as moms, right? Now, I think I'm going to have you back here on numerous occasions because I know you have so much information to share. But today we're talking about that golden hour. And I know you have been instrumental in ensuring that this golden hour works for every single pregnant mom out there that you have touched. So tell us about it. What is this golden hour that we all hear about?
This golden hour, also known as the sacred hour, okay, is that first hour or two immediately after birth. That as this baby is born, so this family encompasses the golden hour. And it's a time where this baby should actually be taken in by mom, immediately loved. You know, it's very much about the first impressions. We know what it's like when somebody walks in the room and we have a first impression.
Yes.
And it's a lasting impression, and it's exactly the same for this baby. This baby comes out and has a first impression of what life is going to be like. Is it going to be horrible, scary, cold, lonely, or is it going to be enveloping loved warmth, this excitement, this love that is enveloped by mom particularly, but mom and dad or mom and whoever the rest of the family is?
Yes, and I know, I mean, like when I think about so many pregnant women, I mean, there's so much focus on delivery, getting the baby out there. I mean, I'll never forget the night before I gave birth thinking, okay, this is, you know, so scary because the doctor said, be prepared for anything. And I then, you know, that scary thought about how am I going to get this baby out? Like, you know, you just get so consumed with taking baby out that you forget about those crucial first moments, like you're saying. And when you're saying first impressions, I never, ever thought about it like that, I have to admit.
Yes. And we really want this baby to feel loved, peaceful, calm.
Yes,
because that is what its predisposition is going to be then for the rest of its life, that actually I can be calm because that is what life has already dished out for me. Whereas if this baby is whisked away, now it's separated from its mom, it's in a strange environment, it's cold, it's lonely, nobody's giving it eye to eye contact, nobody's actually holding it and loving it. Wow. You can imagine they've got a very different impression of what life is going to be like and will have that kind of outlook for life, that actually life is cold and scary out there.
That is so sad.
It is.
It really is so sad.
It really is heartbreaking, and one's got to remember not everybody has had the privilege of having their baby skin to skin immediately after birth. And so we've got to say it's okay.
Yeah.
But we want to aim for the best for our baby, and the best for our baby is that if we have that opportunity is to have that baby immediately skin to skin on mom's chest.
Now, you know, I've heard stories of so many women, and myself included, where, you know, baby is immediately whisked away and all you see is people buzzing around you and, you know, doing so many things, and you just can't wait to hold that precious little one in your hand, on your chest. Why is skin to skin so important in that first hour?
It is important because that is where babies, newborn babies, are expected to be. So when a baby is this developing fetus, it lives in the womb, in the uterus, and all its needs are met.
Right.
It's loved, it's secure, it's given oxygen, nutrients, you know, fed, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so this baby has to find the new place that is actually designed for new babies. And that place is on mom's chest, skin to skin. And there's so much that happens physiologically. You can say it proves that this is where newborn babies actually need to be, on mom's chest, because it is the place where every need is met for that newborn baby. So it is loved, it
right.
is secure, it is given warmth by mom's chest,
yes.
that increases the second that baby is out because of the change of the hormones. So it is pre-warmed for this baby to be kept warm. It is fed, nourishment is right at hand, the breast is right on mom's
yep.
chest, and easily accessible for this baby if that baby is just left in the right place, in the right way. It can hear mom's beating heartbeat, that gives it that calm and peace, because that is the sound that is it's been exposed to for the last 9 months while it's been
That's
in utero.
True.
And so that is where newborn babies belong, feel calm, safe, secure, and should actually be.
Sure.
So babies, no matter
yeah.
their condition,
mm-hmm.
so if there is an emergency, if that baby is
yes.
prem, there is no reason why that baby should not be put skin to skin on mom's chest, and everything that that baby actually needs is done on mom's chest. And it gives that baby the stability, because being skin to skin on mom's chest, it actually stabilizes the baby's heart rate, stabilizes the baby's breathing, warms the baby,
right,
stabilizes that baby's glucose level. So everything that needed to stabilize that baby occurs on mom's chest. It is purely a mindset and an experience as to whoever is birthing that baby,
mm-hmm.
as to what they are comfortable and know and do. So, for example, there is the Karolinska Institute Hospital in mm-hmm. Sweden.
Right.
And I've seen a video clip of a 23-weeker prem baby.
Okay, 23 weeks, wow, right.
That they put that baby on mom's chest, they intubate it, put it on a ventilator, and within a couple of minutes that baby is ventilated, stabilized, and it can actually open its mouth and suck on the breast, not strong enough to actually necessarily get anything out, but actually simulate that. And if there's a drop of colostrum, that baby would actually put that drop of colostrum in its mouth.
That and is so fascinating.
It is purely, as I say, a mindset for the person who is actually looking after this mom and baby.
To ensure that this happens. Now, besides the benefits for baby, there are obviously huge benefits for mom too, right?
Absolutely, because physiologically, it also will help stabilize that mom. So if you take a mom who is in theater just having had a Caesar, and that baby is put immediately on mom's chest, because actually the mindset is correct, these things can actually happen and, you know, worked around, that mom is so much more stable by having the baby on her. And so it's working both ways. It stabilizes the mom, it stabilizes the baby.
And I'm sure it releases so many feel-good hormones within mm-hmm. mom too.
Absolutely. And there isn't the same distress for both mom and baby by the separation. You know, separation is viewed in a very unrealistic way in our human society, that actually, oh, well, it's normal for babies and moms to be separated.
Yes.
We put them in their own
room,
crib.
We
do not actually knowingly realize that babies should be kept skin to skin. And so we expect babies to cry because they are separated, but we don't realize the stress that is put on this baby when this baby is actually separated from the mom. Babies undergo horrendous physiological distress by being separated from the mom.
Sure.
And we don't realize the damage that is done, the cortisol, the adrenaline that is actually released by this baby, by separating this baby. And they liken it to somebody who is a heroin drug addict. And, it, you know, when a heroin addict goes cold turkey, mm-hmm. it is actually very dangerous, very unpleasant as they actually go cold turkey.
Yes.
And they say that actually separating this baby from the mom at birth or thereafter, separating at any time,
yes.
it is, they experience physiologically worse things than a heroin addict does going cold turkey. So it puts it into a little bit of perspective that actually we're not really playing games. Mm. We're not just, oh, isn't that so nice? Yes, this baby comes out, it's born, and it's put on the mom's chest to skin. Yes, tick, we did that. It was 5 minutes long. That is not what skin to skin is all about. Years ago, that yes. was as much as we
got,
knew.
Yeah.
And that, well, 5 minutes is better than nothing. But. And, you know, we've now done the skin to skin, we can move on. And that is not the case. A baby shouldn't be separated from the mom. That baby should be skin to skin in the long term, 24/7, as much as possible for the first 3 or 4 months.
Wow. So it goes far beyond that first hour or two.
Absolutely.
And so what you're saying is that that emotional and psychological impact is huge and underestimated, right?
Very underestimated. And I think part of the reason it is so underestimated is that the staff haven't actually seen the life-giving power of skin to skin. If you haven't seen something happen amazing that this baby is living because it's been skin to skin. Or that it is recovering so much quicker that this baby needed to be resuscitated, was resuscitated on the mom's chest, and within minutes you say, oh my goodness, it's 100% fine. Doesn't need to be rushed to ICU and all things, you know, umpteen machines put on. This baby is fine and stabilized on mom's chest. And because staff haven't seen that, they can't believe that it makes such a difference. And so,
it works. It's real.
Why should we bother? You know, oh, yes. Yeah, we've done it, and they move on. And I suppose it's, you know, with every job, you've got to tick all the boxes. Yes. And so, oh, well, we've tick all the boxes quickly and we don't worry about understanding what we are doing to that family.
Yeah, the long-term damage.
Instead of what we could be doing positively to every family.
Absolutely. So what practical tips would you give to moms and families, you know, to advocate? How can they advocate for this golden hour with their caregivers before they go into the hospital to make sure that this happens? Because it's probably really overwhelming for mom in that moment and dad. And you know that doctors and the nurses know best. So you just want to follow the instructions and be a good student, right? But can moms and dads advocate for this golden hour before we get to that moment where, you know, everything is just going everywhere?
Well, the best thing to do is that during pregnancy,
yeah,
is that pregnant moms and dads and families actually learn as much as they can about skin to skin so that they've got yes. the understanding of what they want to do it and why they want to do it and all the benefits of doing it.
Yes, they're not just ticking a box. You know why
yes.
it's going to help
and you've
you
got
and
that
your
understanding.
Family.
If you've got that understanding, you thought, oh, gee whiz, you know, how can I not do that? Because it's just got so many benefits.
Yes.
And then secondly, they need to really, really think hard who their healthcare provider is going to be and where you are going to actually birth your baby,
mm-hmm.
because that is going to make a huge difference.
Okay.
So, for example, if you go to a private midwife in a home birth setting, yes, not necessarily a home birth, but in a midwife's unit,
right,
you are much more likely to get what you ask for, slow things down, do things naturally, let's leave that baby skin to skin.
Right.
As opposed to going to a private hospital where they are specializing in cesarean sections in and out as quickly as possible. And so it becomes imperative that you have an ideal that you are striving for, and you go to somebody who is offering that routinely, because you're much more likely to get it than asking it from somebody who does not do it routinely, who maybe does it 5% of the time.
I see.
And so those things are critical. And pregnant moms and dads don't know enough at that stage of their pregnancy to make good, correct, informed decisions.
Yes.
Realizing there are long-lasting implications by who and where you decide to actually have your baby.
Yeah, and it can, you're right. I mean, it's so impactful, so important, because it can affect both mom and baby physically and psychologically, right?
Yes, and have long-term effects for life.
That's fascinating. Now, so when we talk about skin to skin, what else should we consider for that first hour? Okay, skin to skin, absolutely essential, that bonding. But what else is important for us to consider, for our moms to consider in that first hour or two, and dads, of course?
Yeah, that the whole family unit.
The whole family unit. Yes.
That as this baby comes out, so it should be put on mom's chest or mom's abdomen. It doesn't really matter where, skin to skin.
Right.
Okay? And that means mom doesn't have a shirt on. Okay? Yes. That baby is on her bare chest, and that baby is born with no clothes on, so it's very appropriately bare.
Yes.
And that's a good start.
We don't need to put the baby romper on immediately.
No. It is important for the mom to be in a semi-reclined position.
Right.
You do not want to be flat on the bed, but you want to be semi-reclined.
Okay.
It's called a laid-back position.
Right.
You know, oh, you just like this, you know, on the couch. And you're supported and you're comfortable and you can see your baby.
Yes.
And that baby should be put on mom's chest and left there on baby time. And that is what is critical. We are not on hospital time, mom's time, dad's time, nurse's time, gynae's time. We are on baby's time.
And what is baby's time?
And what is
I'm learning, still learning.
That actually babies are hardwired,
right,
to know how to go through the 9 instinctive stages, move to the breast and latch on. It is hardwired. It is instinctive. Wow. It is reflexes. Okay? We all know what a reflex is.
Yes.
It's an involuntary movement. It is built in.
Yes.
You know, the classic reflex movement, you know, you cross your legs, you hit your knee, your foot bounces up. It's reflexes. You can't force it. And if it happens, it's involuntary.
Right.
Now, when this baby is put on the mom's chest, it undergoes the 9 instinctive stages.
Okay.
And it does it in its own time, as long as it is left on the mom's chest and without interruption. Every time you interrupt that baby, it's got to go back and start again. Okay.
Ah, wow.
So the first step is the birth cry. Okay, something that is the most beautiful sound possible.
Yes.
Baby cries, I'm alive, I'm a well, hi mom, hi dad, hi everybody else. And baby, you just let that baby be. Yes, you can put your arms around it, you can hold it, but you don't want to confine it. You want to let that baby undergo the rest of the instinctive stages.
Yes.
And that baby is able to move on its own accord, find the breast, open its mouth, latch on, and relatch until it is in the correct position for good suckling.
That is amazing.
And so we shouldn't be having skin to skin for 5 minutes with baby on the chest, and now we maneuver a baby to actually hold it, hold a boob, hold the baby's head, and latch the two together.
Because the baby's being forced then.
It is. And all those instinctive movements that that baby actually needs, all those reflexes are then, they're not being utilized, and other reflexes have got to come into being. And every time that you take a reflex that shouldn't have been used, you get a compensation and a long-term problem, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
Whereas if you let this baby be, and it lies there, it awakens, it moves, it rests, it crawls, it familiarizes itself. Okay, so when it comes
all on
to
its own accord.
All on its own accord.
It really is
if
amazing.
You just leave that baby and you don't fiddle and faff and mess up
right.
what this baby is trying to do.
Yes.
So we do not take that baby away to be suctioned. We do not take it away to be given oxygen. We do not take it away to bath it. We do not take it away to measure its weight and leave that baby there. And that is the most profound things that you can do for your baby, because basically what it's then going to do is that baby is going to learn or undergo those reflexes to actually correctly latch on the breast and suckle. And by being in that laid back nurturing position, or biological nurturing as it's called,
yes.
that baby is then correctly breastfeeding. It is hardwired to breastfeed. It knows how to breastfeed. And if you try and latch that baby and get that baby to open the mouth, it usually chops down on the nipple. And then moms wonder why within 24 hours they've got sore nipples. Because that baby isn't correctly latched, because you haven't actually given it the opportunity to undergo those correct reflexes that are involved with latching.
So we said 9. How many have we gone through in terms of those instinctive stages?
Okay, let's see if I can remember them. Okay, so it's the birth cry.
Right.
Now we'll think, and then the baby awakens, and then it rests. And then it crawls. So even if you...
Even
so number
on you.
Five, okay, we'll come back to number 6 now. Even if we put the baby low down on mom's abdomen,
right,
that baby will crawl. So not crawl like a 9-month-old crawls on hands and knees.
But move.
But moves and pushes and slides and leapfrogs all the way up the chest to mom's breast.
Because when baby's inside, baby's already moving, right?
Absolutely.
On its own accord, not because it's being pushed around, but...
No, and so it instinctively does that. So number 5 was crawling. Number 6, that it takes in its surroundings. And number 7 is that it is...
So weird, so fascinating that...
Yeah, familiarizing.
Yeah.
So it now gets to the breast... And it says, what's this? This is fascinating. Okay, now you know during pregnancy, the areola, the brown area around the nipple area, darkens.
Right,
and that's to actually bring the baby's focus and attention to the nipple area, which is actually the point of sustenance and life-giving.
So is that the reason why the areola gets darkened? Oh, my word. Okay. Right.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll give you one. It's not in the textbooks, but it's my logic.
Yes.
You know, you get a brown line up your tummy as
well. Yes, yes. That very distinctive.
Yes. Okay. And that's basically where the muscle groups actually meet, and that there's normally a line and it's lighter, and the melanin, the pigmentation hormones, lays down in this and you get a dark line. Well, if your baby is put low down, it's saying, Mom, this is the run light, kiddo. This is the way to go to the breast. If you don't like that, find your own explanation.
I love it.
Okay, so it's now focused on this nipple area, the areola that is darkened. And it says, this looks interesting. And if we think about what often happens immediately after birth is that we try and latch the baby to the breast.
Yes.
Well, if you went to a restaurant and you had a plate of food brought to you, mm-hmm. and they started shoveling the food into your mouth, would you like it?
Definitely not.
But that's right? actually what you're expecting from your baby.
That is very true. Yep.
Because he says, I've never seen a breast before. Looks interesting. Yes, it attracts my attention. But I want to know what it is first. So I touch it with my fingers and I might pinch it.
And does it have a sense of smell as well?
Yes, absolutely. Those little the little bumps around the edge of the areola, yes. and those are where the smell actually comes from. Okay, so.
And baby's sense of smell is already there.
Heightened.
Aha.
And it can smell the colostrum, the breast milk that is there too.
So it's not just visual, it's totally yes. multi-sensory that's yes. happening here.
So baby gets that, so it touches it, feels it, this is interesting, and then it licks it. Okay, well, this doesn't look too bad, perhaps I'll put this in my mouth. Whereas actually if you are forcing your baby to latch onto the breast, it can be a very negative oral experience
yeah.
because actually I'm not ready to take that in. You know, you'd never go back to that restaurant if they started to spoon food into your food.
Yes, and that's why you probably end up having all the problems with trying to breastfeed
yes,
and failing.
Yes, because the baby says, I don't want to do it. It's been horrible. It's a negative experience because yes. I wasn't ready. Whereas if baby is left to latch when it's ready, okay,
yes.
and what actually happens as part of that familiarization, the second part of the familiarization, the tongue actually drops to the lower part of the mouth, whereas before that, the tongue is up at the roof of its mouth. So you're trying to put a nipple when the tongue's up, okay, and it yeah. doesn't work. Whereas if you wait till that baby is ready, its tongue drops to the floor of the mouth and it cups and it's ready to actually latch on. So the suckling is number 8. And once baby has fed,
right.
the 9th one is sleep. That baby will actually sleep.
Truly amazing. It's mesmerizing. And it's such a natural process once you take us through those 9 stages and you think about it. And I, you know, we know that human beings are the most needy offsprings, right, when they're born, unlike other animals that have their infants that go through the process on their own,
absolutely.
Right, and get up and get going without the interference.
Totally. And then we wonder why we struggle so much, but we have actually interfered with with nature.
Yes.
And if you think about it, every mammal's baby moves to feed.
And that's their first movement.
Yeah. And actually, human babies are meant to move to feed as well.
As well.
And the reflexes yep. are there that we just have to give that baby the opportunity to exhibit all those things and get to the breast and latch. And all those positive things happen as well as you're going to generally get much more successful long-term breastfeeding as well.
It's really, really fascinating. It's how many elements of that, you know, first 3 months, first year of life that first golden hour affects. Mm-hmm. Now, moms, you know, yes, we know moms feel very strongly about what they want and they need to be able to speak about it and share that. But what about partners, the support partners, you know, what support can they offer to moms during that first hour? She's, you know, in bed, there's all these hormones going, there's so much that's just happened. How can partners support this mom during this golden hour? Baby, of course.
Yes, I think the most important thing is to just sit back and watch and make sure that nobody's interfering with this baby, mm-hmm. that baby is actually doing well, looking pink, breathing nicely, and really just encourage the mom to say, wow, look, this baby's now crawling. Isn't that fascinating? And being caught up in the process and being able to identify the different stages that this baby is actually going to instinctively go through. I just want to add one thing about those nine stages.
Yes, sure.
That by the time the baby is latching,
yes,
it might already be an hour or just over an hour under normal circumstances.
And that's okay.
And that is what is normal. So I'm trying to put into perspective what moms can actually anticipate, that they don't think that these nine instinctive stages are a 5-minute job.
Yes, and it's not happening, and you get into a panic.
Yes.
And you don't know what next. Yes.
So roughly an hour or so before your baby actually feeds. And that is far normal, acceptable, and what should be happening. Yeah.
And I suppose as a partner as well, is to be able to calm mom down, to, you know, go, you've gone through this together. You've listed all the things that need to happen. You want to work through that. And just being there to ease any discomfort or any anxiety.
And hopefully they are so caught up with the fascination of what this baby can do, because most babies think, oh, it's a newborn baby, can't do anything. You know, it's like a sack of potatoes. And actually, it is able to do just so much that, you know, don't underestimate how much a newborn baby can do. Mm-hmm. And just being there,
yes,
and not on social media,
yes,
turn the phones off and actually just capture the moment.
Be present.
Yeah.
Yeah. Physically, present. Emotionally present.
Yeah.
Now, it is something that all moms should aspire to, mm-hmm. right? But sometimes it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. There are challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, you've had a C-section, or if by chance a baby has been taken away from you and, you know you want it, you haven't been able to be vocal enough to get that, how can we still, shortly, whether it's shortly after that, how can we get this back? You know, what can we do?
We must remember that we can never, ever get back what is gone.
Okay.
But we can actually do the next best thing.
Yes.
And as soon as is possible, to put that baby on your chest and let it recreate and go through the rest of those instinctive stages. Even if it's a few days later.
Yes.
Obviously, it can't have the birth cry again.
Of course.
But the rest of it, your baby should actually be able to carry on and do. And so you would just recreate everything that your baby should have done immediately after birth, as soon as you and your baby are given the opportunity.
Yeah.
So it's never too late.
Yes, because sometimes maybe mom was incapacitated at that time.
Absolutely.
So to get that bonding back as soon as possible is important.
Absolutely. So give it all the opportunities that it should have had immediately. And say, for example, there is a problem with mom and mom can't actually get baby in theatre. The next best thing is actually dad can take his shirt off and put that baby on his chest. Okay. Obviously, he might not have a bed provided, but he can just hold that baby skin to skin, and it is going to do a remarkable amount. Not as good as a mom's. I mean, we've got to have one-upmanship occasionally.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, for example, the mom's chest will pre-warm her chest.
Yes.
Ready for the baby. So it goes up a couple of degrees in anticipation to keep that baby warm. And if that baby feels cold, her body will warm her chest more. If that baby gets hot, the chest will decrease in temperature to adjust and keep that baby at the correct temperature. Now, dad can't quite do that, okay? But that doesn't matter. We'll never underplay just how important, but that baby will feel loved and calm and secure. Hear the heartbeat.
Here's heartbeat.
In somebody's arms who loves it. Let the dad or the partner actually talk to that baby, because if they've been around during the pregnancy, that baby will recognize that voice. And so it'll be reassured. So even if it's not the mom's voice, whoever else is sharing the pregnancy will be able to actually talk to this baby and baby recognize its
wonderful
voice.
Now, so what are some of the misconceptions and myths around golden hour? I'm sure moms hear it, are dissuaded from it. You know, some people say, oh, if you have a C-section or there's certain types of births, it's not possible. Have you heard of any of this, and how can moms
yes, there are lots work of through this? Misconceptions. You know, we'd love to actually write all the misconceptions.
You probably could write a book of it.
That actually every mom and baby should be able to do skin to skin. As I say, it's a mindset on who's looking after the baby unless something drastically happens to the mom in theatre.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if she's bleeding and, you know, they need to actually sort her out, then there are times when it's not appropriate for
them. Or it's delayed, yes. Right? But it still happens.
Yes, but not necessarily immediately. But basically, for the run of the mill, every mom and baby should be given the opportunity of skin to skin. Oh, this theatre is too cold. This baby will get cold lying on your chest. No. Mom's chest warms baby. So as long as you don't have a jet from an air conditioner on freezing, sure, then the baby will get cold. But under normal conditions, baby will not get cold. It is on its mom's chest. It stays as pink as anything, as warm as anything. It's incredible. So that is definitely not true.
Yes.
Another one, the baby's sugar level or its glucose level is going to drop and, you know, we'll need to take that baby away. No, skin to skin actually keeps that baby's glucose level stabilized. Okay?
Right.
So we do not have to worry about that. So those are a few of them.
The real main important
ones. It can be done in theatre. Mm-hmm. Theatre is not a reason to actually say you can't do skin to skin. Again, the mindset of who is actually doing the Caesar. They can have see-through drapes. They can lower the drapes. They can actually let the mom bring her baby out so that it is a slow birth. It doesn't have to come flying out in 1 second. And so you're almost simulating what your baby has gone through as it's gone down the vaginal canal to be born. So they bring it out slowly and the mom can actually lift it out. That baby can be put higher up on its chest than lower down because obviously they're operating down.
Yes.
But there's no reason. Nobody's operating on the boobs.
Yeah.
The breasts can be easily exposed. So it's important that mom doesn't actually have a gown on,
mm-hmm.
that she is without a top. So her baby can be put skin to skin on her. That the drip that she will have can be in her non-dominant arm so that she can hold it nicely easily with her dominant arm. The electrodes from the heart monitor can be put on her back instead of her chest.
Okay.
Has the same effect. So you put it on while the mom is awake in theatre, sitting up, attach them, and then let her lie on them, and actually baby has got the whole of her chest area free.
That is fascinating, truly fascinating. When you realize how much of power you have,
mm-hmm.
to ask that you do have choices.
Absolutely. It's to find the people who will support you in the choices that you want. That is critical. Because some people, I'm here to, you know, do the theater work. I'm not here to, you know, do the niceties. And that's the wrong attitude to actually have. And you want somebody who's going to say, yeah, sure, it takes very little to actually implement this. It's really the mindset.
Well, Lynn, I mean, it's totally, totally inspirational. And I think all this information that you've given our moms is definitely food for thought to get you going and to realize that moms have choices and partners and support teams can support moms' decision and in asking the right questions and making sure that all moms and children benefit from that beautiful golden hour. But as we close, what would be one of your pieces of advice or tips that you'd give for moms that are, you know, going to go into that delivery? What, you know, what is that one thing you want them to walk away with today?
Knowing that skin to skin is ultimately so important, and that make sure you get the right people to stand by you so that it can be implemented. Let your baby be skin to skin, go through the 9 instinctive stages, latch on, it's called reflexive latching,
right,
that the baby is able to latch on, have the power and the knowledge, because it's hardwired to breastfeed, and just enjoy the journey.
Yes. Trust that it'll all be fine. Yes. Knowledge is such a powerful tool, I think, in this whole thing. So for all the mums that are listening and they want to get in touch with you and find out more information, and do you have resources available? Is it, how can they get a hold of you?
Probably the one good website is expectantmothersguide.co.za.
Right.
And there are posters you can download with the 9 instinctive stages,
oh,
with the reflexes, etc., and a whole lot more as well, that they can have that on their phone to help remind them what is important. And yeah, they can download that off the Expectant Mother's Guide website. It's got my contact details. If they want to get hold of me, they're very welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I think it is so wonderful to have these resources. Like I said, knowledge is power, gives us all a better outcome. And with resources that you're offering moms that they can share as well. And for all the listeners as well, we'll make sure we share the details in our show notes so that our listeners will have easy access to it. But Lynn, thank you so much for sharing and enlightening me as well as our listeners. Knowing that there is so much we can do for long-term benefits for our entire families. So thank you very, very much. We appreciate your time.
Only a pleasure. And it's a pleasure to actually try and make a huge difference to every mother and dad and baby who actually hears this message.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lynn.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much, Lynn, for sharing your wisdom and warmth with us today. The golden hour is truly a magical time, and we've learned just how powerful those first moments can be for both baby and mom. From the science behind skin-to-skin contact to all your practical tips on creating a peaceful bonding experience, it's clear that this special time really sets the foundation for a lasting connection. And to all our listeners, remember that every birth journey is unique, and the best way to prepare is to stay informed and empowered. Embrace these precious moments, moms. Trust yourself and take it one step at a time. And if you want to learn more about Lynn's work or get additional resources on preparing for the golden hour, check out the links that Lynn had mentioned in our show notes. And thank you for tuning in to Lights, Camera, Baby. We can't wait to be back with you with more insights to support you on your parenting journey. From me, Progeny Patha, until next time, take care, stay connected, and savor every moment with your little one.